Our final presenter this morning is Dr. Pramod Thacker. Dr. Thacker is the manager of Coal Degas Group for Murray American Energy in Morgantown, West Virginia. Dr. Thacker is responsible for all degasification in all coal seams within Murray Energy. Dr. Thacker is considered by many to be the father of coal bed methane degasification. Over his 40-year career working with Conoco and Consol, he is responsible for the discovery of many of the currently used degasification techniques. His work has minimized the risk to coal miners throughout the world. Dr. Thacker holds a master's and a doctorate degree in mining engineering, as well as a master's degree in applied mathematics from the Pennsylvania State University. He has been a member of the SME for 45 years. Please welcome Dr. Pramod Thacker.
Thank you. Let me tell you something. It's precarious to be the last speaker in the last session. Try to avoid it. I thought I'll be talking just to Jim, and if he doesn't show up, I'll be talking to myself. But 30 of you are here. I want to thank you. Thank you for sticking around. I want you to go back with a memory that you met a man who sacrificed everything in life to make sure the mines won't blow up, nobody would die anymore in these mines. I'll take you back 50 years back, you know, when I started working in the mines. I was a captain of a rescue team. When the mine blows up, your job is to get the people out, those who were injured, worse, those who are dead. It's a very sad experience to bring a dead body to the surface. When you wash it, it turns out to be your classmate. There's a young wife and a mom and dad. It's worse than war. And that's what brought me and my young wife in the late 60s to the great university, Penn State University, the State College, PA. I thought they know it all. I spent 5 years there getting 2 masters and a PhD. Didn't know anything about how to get the gas out from the mines. So how did it all start? Why did that people don't die in the mines anymore because we take the gas out? Matt did a great job. In fact, he gave half my talk. So I'll escape that portion. No, I'm just kidding. It has been a very fulfilling experience to develop all these technologies which everybody is using, including Target. And let all enjoy it, you know, and make the mind safe. Nothing is more satisfying than seeing a healthy person come out of the mine and be ready to work again next day. So I'll tell you a story. You remember it and go from there. A little commercial for coal, you know. Everybody's against coal, as you know. We are down and everybody jumping on us, kicking our butt. But this is what you got. Coal is what you got, not only in this country. Come on in. We won't bite. This is the reserve. Forget the unit. It's 290. Natural gas, it's 15 point something, 18. Nuclear, 17. Not allowing for reprocessing. Hydro, uncertain. Solar and wind, it's just in the wind, blowing away. You can't run a factory or a mine that needs 20 megawatt power with wind or sun or anything else. You know, you got to have a reliable source. This is what we got. Coal is what we got, and we got to build on what we got, not something that China has or Saudi Arabia has. That's all I'm going to say about it and go into about my business. I'm going to talk about Pittsburgh Seam. It has been a source of tragedy for a long time, and yet it had provided a great source of energy for a long time. All the technology that you heard today, and I'll tell you some more, that we developed, was developed in Pittsburgh Seam, and originally by yours truly. Now everybody's using it in this country, overseas. I'm delighted to see them use and make their minds safe. Jim, I had an opportunity in China. I was the last speaker in the last session, and still there were 3,000 people in the audience. So that was quite amazing, you know. And they have used this technique. They kill about 10,000 people each year. Using this technique, Matt described, and I'm done it, you know, and we're doing it. We still have about 10 drilling rigs in Murray Energy. Consol has about 7-8. We degas the mine, make sure mine is safe. You can't put any price on somebody's life. What if it's your own son, your own brother? I can't put a price. Gas makes some money, like Matt said. But you know where the most money comes from? When you take the gas out, the guys can mine a lot more coal. Same machine, same guy. With gas, they mine 10 tons a day. Without gas, they can do 60, 70. I won't give you numbers, but it cuts down the cost of mining tremendously. And my little group of 30, 35 people makes a difference of billions of dollars in all our mines, you know. We are now the largest coal producing company in the whole country. Murray Energy produces 90 million tons of coal. And if they buy rest of Consol mines, they will be producing more, you know. Mr. Murray said he won't go for it, but I don't believe it. He has the money. Everybody has money these days except me and Steve there, you know. But anyway, this is your Pittsburgh scene. This is what it looks like. I brought my own flashlight, you know. Pennsylvania, Ohio, and you can see here, the red is the deepest area, and that's where all those coal mines are, Cumberland, Consol mines, and our mines like old names, Blacksville, Loveridge, Harrison County mine, the Robinson Run mines, you know. This is how the gas deposit checks out. The deeper the coal, the more gas it has. That blue area, you see here, the little area, the corner of Pennsylvania and West Virginia, that has 6 BC of coal per section. You know what a section is? My folks were farmers. So I know what a section is. Section is 1 square mile, 640 acres. We used to land like 10, 15 sections. They took away all the land, put me on the street, so I joined mining. It is quite gassy. And like Matt said, you know, whenever the gas content goes up beyond 120, you got to degas that coal. Otherwise, you are running risk, you know. Longwall mining is by far the most efficient way of mining coal, produces the cheapest coal, exploits the reserve to the best, and yet keeps the people safe. So longwall mining today is producing more than 50% of underground mine coal, and I'll be delighted the day all the underground coal, IL, is produced by longwall mining. There are 47 of them. We own 15%. Regardless of which company I work, they have 25% of the longwall, you know. Consol did when I was there, now Murray Energy had. One thing you have noticed, when I began mining in 1974, Blacksville mine had a 400 feet wide longwall. Then went to 600, then went to 900, then 1,000, 1,200. Today they have some 1,600 feet wide longwall panels. The thrust of my talk is that, is it safe? Can we do, can we keep on expanding it, or is there an optimum length, what you have, a width of the panel, which you have to stop, or length of the face, one the same thing, you know. Why we do it? Longwall coal is cheap, much cheaper than development coal. The higher this ratio, the higher your profit. Improve productivity and reduce cost. Matt did not emphasize this one because he doesn't have the data. I have. I can't tell you, though. But it makes a big difference, believe me. It makes a difference of billions of dollars per year in a mine company like Consol or Murray Energy. Fewer longwall moves, that improves safety. Moving the longwall is the most unsafe act around longwall. Those who have been there, you know it. Jim knows it, you know. More complete recovery of reserve. We extract a higher percentage of coal in situ compared to room and pillar. and wider panel allows more time for gait development. This is by far the most important reason why they make it wider. I've seen many mind supers fired because they were not ready with the development. Development can't catch up with the long wall. Long wall has become so good. But there are some disadvantages, and my job is to highlight those disadvantages. The wider the panel, the longer the face, it's very difficult to ventilate it, you know. You'll have to do pre-mining degasification. It's not cheap and costs money. You will have increased GHG emissions. I'll show you why. It, hidden geological anomalies, faults, washout, and reduced seam height, you know. You don't know when you lay out a long wall panel unless you drill, like Matt said, you know, and pretty much explore the entire panel, and you can. You have to face those dangers. My philosophy for all these years has been all coal mines are gassy. If anybody tells you that coal seam is non-gassy, don't believe it. It's gassy, they only vary in degree. I call them mildly gassy if the gas content is less than 100 cubic feet per ton. Moderate, 100 to 300. Highly gassy, 300 to 300. I have worked in all these mines and degassed them all. Like those young kids, they have a t-shirt says, been there and done that. I'm just like that. I wish I had a shirt like that. You know. Okay, so what we need to do. My early gassy mine, the periphery of Pittsburgh seam, mines in Illinois, we have now six of them. I don't think they need pre-mining degasification, gas content around 75, 80 cubic feet per ton. But I insist that they put a couple GHG wells per panel. Steve is just like in 70s in Consol. We've been mining like this for 30 years, you know. What the hell are you going to tell me? You know your problem, you have a PhD, go back to Penn State and teach there, you know. I was told that, you know. But I'm still here. Those guys are gone. It especially hurt him because the guy was from Penn State, class of 1941. Anyway, when you have a moderately gassy coal seams like the mines you heard about, Cumberland, the Humphrey mine, my favorite, was there, and all those mines like Blacksville, Loveridge, their gas content is anywhere up to 150 to 200 cubic feet per ton. You need to do pre-mining degasification. You need to take the gas out from the GHG. Otherwise, you won't have the optimum production. When you put in $400 to $500 million in a mine, and Jim does it quite often, he did when he was with Alpha, or his predecessor, you need to extract as much coal as possible. High rate of mining, so pay your debt and make money on top, you know. It's very important to make sure they never gas off. My marching order for the past 20 years has been make sure we never gas off. Coal operation doesn't suffer because of gas. And that's why I still have a job, even though I'm a very old man. I'm older than Steve, that tells you I'm pretty old. Highly gassy mines, these are mines in Alabama and Virginia. It's very difficult to degas them, but we were able to do it. I worked there for 14 years. You degas the coal with vertical drilling and fracking first, and then in-mine horizontal drilling. Each long wall panel, 10,000 feet long, 1,000 feet wide, may have 20 to 40 GHG wells. Each GHG well costs around $300,000. So it's a $12 million in one panel. You got to make money by marketing that gas to defray that cost, you know. And it has been done. Okay, there are two techniques, as you heard, if I'm going to go easy on it. Horizontal drilling from surface, you can drill the coal seam from surface, or in-mine horizontal drilling. For me, this is the cheapest. What Matt didn't tell you, that in-mine drilling costs you $10 a foot. I'm just taking a scale. It costs more than that. Surface from drilling, $1,000 a foot. 10-to-1 difference. The cheap guy like me would try to do the job from here in mine and keep mining. But if you have a way to market the gas, then you can do what Matt said, you know. These coal seams are shallow. They have very high permeability. You don't have to frack this coal. Even if you try to frack it, you're not going to produce anything. It's a different subject. I can. Consultant, believe me. So we drilled and fracked 8 wells at a cost of $2 million. Production, zero, nada, nothing. Prove my point. They won't believe it until they have spent the money. Okay, like I said, you know, our objective is not to market the gas or do anything with it. You know, if somebody wants to gather it and market, may the force be with them. Our job is to get the gas out, mine good coal, producing 70, 80 tons per man day, and keep everybody safe. So in some mines with low permeability, this is what we do. Drill every 4 blocks, 2 holes like this. And in mines where they have higher permeability and the development can't be done, so we drill these development boreholes to degas the coal ahead of mining and then also drill one across. In a typical panel like this, 12,000 feet, you have 8-9 settings. You may notice that towards the end of, near the setup, we increase the density of the boreholes because these boreholes have less time, only 6 months to produce. This may have 18 months to produce. This strategy had worked very well. We recover 50% of the gas. Pittsburgh seam is very peculiar. Never think you will be able to recover 100% gas. It will take 1,000 days, 3 years, to recover 65% gas from this coal. So if you got 50% in a year and a half, you're doing damn good. Coal has a very low diffusivity, on the order of 10 to the power minus 8. Like I said before that. This is, I got 2 boys, this is my 3rd child, my drilling rig. 1978, I almost lost my job. I was asking for 150 grand. And they asked me the same question, would you bet your job on it, you know? What will we do if machine fails? I said, that's a dual boom bolter chassis, you know. If it fails, I'll pack and go back to Himalayas, and you make it the dual boom bolter. We have 16 of them now, and throughout the world we have 100 of them, you know. They modify a little bit and call them, it's a target drilling rig, or it's REI drill rig, or Australian rig. But basically the same Model T, and that's me. That's my baby here, you know. That's the drill rig. Then you have a tender unit that stands behind, completely explosion-proof. The rig, when it's set up, has no electric power on it, only hydraulic. This provides all the hydraulic power. And this is the instrument I built in 1978-80, which has been modified now. I still build it cheap, but I can't sell you. Steve can build it at 10 times the cost and sell you with some profit. That's okay. I'm glad to see them build it. But we do it internally. And what we have in here, like Matt showed, we got 3 accelerometers, which gives you the pitch of the drill and the roll on the drill bit. They have 3 magnetometers that gives you the azimuth. You correct it for the geographic north. And has a gamma. It's mostly sodium iodide. The roof has a little bit of shale that gives out signal. You pick it up. And when you approach the roof, you know, they just go beep, 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 beep. So you stop and try to come down. A very sophisticated instrument. I try to keep 2 instruments for each rig. Build it in-house. You know, you can come and see it, but I can't sell you for insurance reasons. Okay, this is the first source of gas, pre-mining. Do you think there's another time you could run into gas? You bet. If you do long wall, the roof will subside, floor will heave, and you have more gas, and you got to handle that. So we have 2 techniques. Vertical gob wells and cross measure. This is a European technique for low producing, slow moving long walls. This is something you need to see. A lot of people don't believe that any gas comes from floor, but I can assure you, when the floor gets heaved, sometimes 25% of the gas in the gob comes from floor. Many mines had disasters because they didn't pay any attention to floor gas. I won't name them, but they are there in the history. Vertical, the wider the panel, the higher up it breaks. I've seen 1,000 feet wide face produce gas up to 1,000 feet from surface. So when you plan degasification of gob, you have to allow for these things. This is an extreme design of gob well, just to prove a point. Let's imagine you are mining this coal seam here. And you got one or two coal seams here producing gas. These things producing gas. Coal seams that you're mining, that's the pressure sink. It's at the least pressure. So all the gas comes over there, and you got to catch it, you know. So what we do, we drill it, fill it with sand up to here, put a block, cement block over here so you can mine through it, and then this is all slotted, and gas goes up with a blower over there. This works like a charm whenever you have floor gas, and it is a problem. This is the solution. On a plan view, this is the way your borehole looks like. This is the center line. I try to keep them closed, but the people try to put them near the tail end entry because it's stable in this area. It's a little bit less stable here. But you can capture more gas if you are close to the center line. In Pittsburgh, same. 55 to 60% gas can be captured if you put enough gob wells and produce them well. I don't have time to go into that, but I'm telling you. A typical longwall makes, say, 8 million cubic feet of gas per day. You capture that much. The remaining gas has to be handled by the bleeders. Assuming you have 1.5% gas, law allows 1.999. You got to have that kind of air. Now the question, you know, how wide a longwall face you can have that can be safely managed in Pittsburgh. This is the gist of my 40 years experience. You make it too long and you don't have enough air, you make a legal check 12 inch below the rope. You may be legal, 0.99%. You go 6 inch up, you get 5% gas. Now imagine you got a sandstone top. The cedar comes in, big spark, and there is a blue and yellow flame all over the roof. You bojan the gob, if you have a rich mixture, you will have a fire. If you got a mixture between 5 and 15%, you will have an explosion. You will kill people. So it's very important to restrict this width of face. It can't go increasing unabated. Of course, it assumes you'll be mining good. Like I say, mines are expensive, and you need to mine them as much as possible. 70 feet per day longwall advance or retreat in our mines is very common. We can't live with less than that. Criteria for optimum width. You got to find out what's the total gas at the tailgate. Second, how much air you can provide at the tailgate. And the methane content must be below 1%. For planning, I take 0.8, you know. Can I have a few more minutes? Okay, thank you. The second thing I just pointed out, that when you find more concentration of gas near the roof, that's called gas layering. This is the formula developed by the National Coal Board in England. It's a pretty good one. Typically, say, if you have a methane emission, degassed face in Pittsburgh can make 300. Up to 500, I have seen, depending on the gassing of the coal. You assume the face is 10 feet wide. You need about 39,000 CFM air. And I bet you in many mines you don't find anything close to 39,000. You know? That's the tragedy. That's why you need to cut down the face from 1,600 to something less. I also like to point out ventilation. When I was trying to degas the gaseous mine in the whole world, that's Buchanan Mine in Virginia, I tried everything on earth. I worked there for 15 years. The ventilation thing, finally this technique worked. To bring in the fresh air like this, you got the main dual compartment, and you got the bleeder fan. This air goes like this. Bring the air like this. Normally, they bring the intake, and this will collapse as you mine. The equivalent orifice here is about 2 to 3 square feet. You can't push. You need about 35, 39,000 air. You can't push that air that way. So I strongly recommend an internal return with a regulator. This guarantees you at this place as much air as you want. Except Buchanan, nobody is doing it. Nobody wants to do it. By the time the face comes near the mouth, they probably have less than 20,000 air here, you know, and they play with danger. I don't play with danger. I make it safe, you know. So this is the gist of my talk. I've seen many, many long walls and put all that data together. The depth varies from 1,000 feet
to 1,700, say, and I've seen gas emissions in this ballpark. The simple thing is, the longer the face, the less air at the tailgate, more emission at the tailgate. They will cross here someplace, and they cross right here. In my humble opinion, if you got a face 1,300 plus minus 20, that's the optimum for Pittsburgh scene. One should not exceed it with the kind of ventilation we have. It's a 12-inch diameter Jeffrey fan. I don't recommend something bigger than that, like we have TLT Babcock at Buchanan Mine. They're much more expensive. Mines like that, the power bill per year alone for a mine is like $8, $9, $10 million. Power for fans. You can spend some money on degasification and cut down on your cost of ventilation, you know. Mines in Jim Walters, they recover 20% methane, and their power cost is around $8 million per mine. Buchanan Mine, I can talk about it now. They can fire me. They already did. We spend $6 million on degasification. Ventilation cost is much less than that, you know. The total cost may be the same, but here we recover that gas, 70 million cubic feet a day. You clean that gas, put in pipeline, you're going to make some extra money. I can bet you on that, you know. Even today, $1.50 per MCF. You know. When it goes to $10, you make more money from gas than from coal. How's that? So I've done this work 10 years back, actually, for very gassy mines. The optimum width of the panel or the length of the face is around 7 to 750 feet. I recommended 750. Consult chairman knocked it down to 700. Before that, a very strong-headed, good businessman, but not very intelligent in mining, he's my friend, I won't name him, said, push it to 1,000 feet. What's the difference between Bailey and Buchanan? I said, 70 million cubic feet of gas, Ben. And we did, and we had two fires, Valentine Day 2005, July 9, 2007, just the scenario I described to you. It pained my heart to see that people not listening to technical people can make an error like that. So finally, I wrote two papers, and Mr. Harvey read them, and he said, we'll do what Pramod said. And they have been mining with this width for 8-9 years. No problem, I'm glad to see you. So there's a famous saying by my favorite Hollywood hero, man got to know his limitation. You know who he is, you know. We all need to know our limitations. Long wall face cannot be as wide as they are in Pittsburgh seam. This should be brought down to in this ballpark. Now you got a mildly gassy mine, like outskirts of Pittsburgh seam in Ohio or Shoemaker mine, like you can go as wide as you want to, whatever machinery permits. But my message to you is, we have the technology today to make sure the mines won't blow up. Nobody needs to die in the mine because of gas anymore. It will be a real crime. And I'll be really ashamed, you know. We have the technology. We have people who can get this job for you. Marie Energy believes in keeping an internal group like mine to do it. If you don't have an internal group, call Steve. He'll take care of you. But do degas your coal. There's no use, no point in taking any risk when you don't have to. So Jim, that's my talk. If you have any question, I'll be glad to answer any question you have. Thank you.
Any questions for Dr. Thacker? If not, I thank you all for your attention and participation. That concludes the Longwall USA 2015 conference. Thank you very much.
Jim.
Thank you, Dr. It's always wonderful to see you.
Appreciate
your insights.